and welcome to Glimmer of Genius, episode 11. My name's Luke, I make YouTube videos, and on the line with me is Level 2 Judge Grant and Cardboard Trader Simon. How are you both doing, alright?
Yeah, sleepy with this late night podcast.
As I said, it's entirely your fault if you would insist on, you know, doing things like putting your children to bed before you take on other responsibilities. Then, you know.
They need to go to bed.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. You're being a sensible parent, so you know, can't judge too harshly.
A sensible parent would have gone, screw the podcast, I'm going to bed. I'm dedicated.
Yeah, a sensible parent would have got to sleep while he can. Yeah. Okay, so on the show today, we're going to briefly talk about the modern metagame in preparation for GP Birmingham, just to throw some thoughts out there for anyone who might be attending that. As well as that, we're going to be playing the flavor text game, and Grant has a saucy brew for us. Is it modern or standard or legacy? What is it?
It's modern. Most of them will be modern, but yeah, this one's modern.
That's cool.
I thought it was going to say frontier.
No.
Awesome. But before we dive into all of that, Grant, what have you been up to this week in Magic?
Given your advice last week, last podcast, whatever, I decided to give standard another go on Monday, and I was looking at decks I wanted to start with. And it was the choice between the Corferro Gift deck, which I did quite like, or anything else sort of like along the sort of aggro red vein, effectively. And I looked at the Corferro's Gift deck, and I liked it. I thought, oh, you know, there's a lot of graveyard stuff, like zombies or whatever. People have graveyard hate, so, you know, it might win game one and they will just lose. But from what I realised was graveyard hate still isn't that common, to be honest. And I actually lost to a variant of Corferro's Gift deck, so I'm thinking I probably should have done that because it's a bit more spicy, it's a bit more crazy, and I think it's more me. I went with a Rakdos aggro list like that. So basically, it's the Ravenap, or whatever you call it, red aggro list, but then it's got like cut ribbons and the Amethyst Eternal in it, the one with the flip three, which is quite cool.
Oh, yes, the Crocodile.
Just so it was a bit more flexible than the red aggro smash thing. So I thought I'd give that a go, but it didn't really do fantastic. Like the last round I lost was against Triska Decapomia.
Oh, what?
Oh, dear.
Which, you know, like, I played about the deck before, and, you know, it's one of those things where it's at the end of standard where you've got all the things that work together with the crazy card that was, you know, like a couple of years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And it seemed to work really well. It was just like an escort control thing. And it's just kind of, well, I should have been more happy to lose against it, but I went 0-3 with this deck, wouldn't get back in standard. So I was kind of, I don't tilt very much, but I was getting there. So I think next week, yeah, I'm going to try and do the Godfarer's Gift thing, I think.
I wish I was there to witness a tilty Grant. you're usually such a nice player all the time.
Yeah. This is what standard does to me.
The rage, the salt.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's a particularly cruel twist of fate that you get into standard and then someone does that with your own brew.
I think that's why I was mad. Yeah. Like, how dare
you? No, I think that's a very human emotion, and I would be exactly.
Yeah, like for once I was actually playing a deck that could be argued to be like a proper deck kind of thing. Yeah. And then as my girlfriend reminded me, just like, that's you being punished for being a normal person. Like, yeah, I should not try that.
I love it. So that's the takeaway, is it? Just don't be conventional.
Yeah, I think, yeah, go for the, I mean, the Godfarer's Gift deck is known to be a thing, but I'll talk about it later, but I saw like a Mardu, I lost against a Mardu build, which was quite interesting. I still think the blue-white one is better, so I'm going to sort of modify that. I might add red to it for like Fiend's Visions and also Combustible Gear Hulk, which is what they ran and was really good, because basically, with Combustible Gear Hulk, you either get some cards or you put them in the bin. But if you put them in the bin, you can then reanimate them with Godfarer's Gift.
Yep.
And I saw it used and it was really cool. So, again, I don't want to do the deck that is known. I just want to copy Chris's deck, effectively. So I'm going to try and make my own nonsense and do that, I think.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Simon, what about yourself?
Well, I had the weekend off. My wife took the twins away to visit the great-grandma. So I made sure I had a weekend of Magic.
Yes.
Starting with our FNM draft, which I free-owed.
Hey!
So that was a great start, getting back into Magic. First pick, the Ramunap Hydra.
Yes.
The 4-4, the one with Vigilance, Reach and Trample gets bigger if you have deserts in play or in the graveyard.
Nice.
I like that.
And followed it up with a second pick, Sand Strangler.
Oh, jeez.
So I just went, well, I'll go red, green, deserts matter. Yeah, it worked really well. I ended up with two of the sand crawlers, all like the Sidewinder Naga, and then a bit of ramp to the 7-7 Trample Scry 3.
That's a weird combo.
Well, it's just nice. I ran two cuts. And
two cuts?
Yeah, and in the I managed to win by splashing for the ribbons as well sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird. I had great success with cut, and then like the day after, Grant messaged me going, "Got any cut to ribbons?" So I do have some cut to ribbons. Yeah. It worked out really well, as I said. I went 3-0, and most of my games were really good. I was playing the wall, my favourite wall, Wall of Forgotten Pharaohs.
Oh, yeah.
Control a desert, tap it, do one damage. I thought I was doing really, really well for deserts, and I got to pack two and checked my drafts and realised I only had two.
Oops.
But I did have the end of the sands, though, which was nice. Didn't have the hippo to combo with it.
No.
But yes, I made sure I picked up a couple more deserts in pack three. I think three deserts is enough, I think.
Is it?
I've always played three. When I'm doing things that matter with deserts, I've played three, and it seems to be, you seem to hit one in a game that way.
Okay.
I was running two mana lifts as well.
Wow.
I think four probably stands better in my head, because then you've got like one in ten, so that means by turn three you should have drawn one, I guess. But if you think three is fine, then that's good.
Three, I haven't had any issue. I mean, one game I could have done with drawing it sooner. I drew it and it was fine. Just sheltered thickets as well, so my mana base worked out really well enough that I could splash two ribbons.
Oh, there we go.
Of course, I didn't have to play the ribbons, but it was a nice little bonus. And sort of people sort of forgot it was in my graveyard as well. So I won games up there with that, which is quite fun.
Yeah, I mean, if you're heavily red-green as well, it's quite a big ask to splash. So they're probably just in their head go, well, he's not splashing for the second mode.
Yeah, until I play my second mana lift.
Yeah. And then it gets real.
Yeah, the Sifter Worm's really good, though. I love the Sifter Worm. I played one, and sometimes you have to play it. Well, I did play one. they managed to deal with it, and then I'd play a second one and getting another 5 life, and just go, oh, God. Game over.
Game over, man.
It was joyful to see the look of despair in their faces.
Speaking of despair on other people's faces, I hear that you did very well in some other...
Yeah, so I started the weekend off with a draft, and then Saturday and Sunday was our games day weekends. Saturday, I came second, running your Black Zombies list.
Ooh.
I made the changes you suggested. You sent me someone else's list, didn't you? The person that...
It was the top eight list, I think, from the Pro Tour. I basically just copied that, minus a few cards I didn't have, and then, yeah.
Yeah, Saturday was only an eight-player event. What did I play that? I played against Good Throws Gift Twice, and lost it twice. I lost against it both times, including in the finals, which was very depressing.
Was it absolutely nonsense, or was it just they got a bit lucky?
I only managed we played five games in total against that deck, and I only managed to win one. And that was because I got off to a really fast start. Unfortunately, the deck had nothing, no outs for it, nothing in the side, but I didn't have Dispossess. So all I had was Transgress the Mines. And in the main, there was the two land.
Sacrifice
to exile all cards in the graveyard. Yeah, okay. I never saw it against him.
How quickly did it sort of get to a point where nobody go off, but you know what I mean? Did it get to a sacred?
Turn four.
Wow, that's quick.
Turn four, they can get the artifact out and start producing a good number of heavy hitting 4/4 zombies with extra abilities like Fabricate 2 and nonsense like that. So I played that deck. I played the zombie mirror match, or close to a mirror match. That was fine. What else did I play? Oh, I beat blue red control in the semi finals.
Impressive.
What does that even look like now?
Huh?
What does red blue control even look like? Is it the Drake Haven one or whatever?
Yeah, it plays Gear Hulks and counter spells and draw spells.
Oh, it's just... Oh, okay.
And
a braid.
Weltering Suns.
Yeah.
So undeterred, I went back on Sunday for Games Day Part 2. I had 14 players this time, and I smashed it. Yeah. I went undefeated all day.
Awesome.
I got to play Frayne Sanity deck, match one. That's quite... If they manage to get two Frayne Sanities down, you're in a lot of trouble quite quickly.
Yeah, you've got to kill them fast, haven't you?
Yeah, round two was against zombies, which I also played in the semi-finals as well. I played Ramucat Red round three, and I played that in the quarter-finals as well.
How's it been when you faced it? Has it been just like super quick, or has it been okay?
Well, I was playing Jim, the shop owner, and wherever I've played, I've always felt on the back foot playing against him. He's been playing a lot more longer than me, and he's a bit out of practice, but still, playing against him with the zombies deck against Roman Camp Red, I felt ahead the whole time.
Oh, okay.
And I was trying to explain it to people, and they were like, I think it's my good matchup. I think it's a good, we've got a good matchup against it.
I can see that.
Everyone else was like, no, I don't think so. They're just so much quicker than you.
Mm.
But I felt ahead because we've got so much removal.
And life gain, haven't you?
Yeah, and their main hitter is the god. And yeah. We're just running grasps and
Dark Salvation.
Yeah. So many answers to it. I didn't feel that threat. Even when he got a quick start, I felt quite confident that I had the tools to do the job.
That's the thing with the god. I obviously played it in my Rakdos list, and I wasn't able to get it out on turn four because I had like other stuff I wanted to get rid of, or just it wasn't option to play them wherever. Mm-hmm. And when I did get him out, it just got Grasp of Darkness, or like you said, other minus minuses. And then even when it was like able to hit and not get removed, it was just like chump block, and it was just terrible. Like I remember two games almost, I lost just purely to flying because I had just no reach or flying in the deck at all. So I don't really like the red aggro deck, even though it sounded quite good to start with.
I remember looking across, playing that game in the quarterfinals, I remember looking across to the other side of the table, the other opponent, it was Zombies versus Green-Black Constrictor.
Yeah.
And the Constrictor's player sitting there with Bronus, who's of course is a 5-5.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, well, I'm glad I'm not playing that deck. I'm not playing against that deck because Grasp doesn't kill that.
Part of the reason why I'm rooting for Zombies at the moment, I know I've been playing it for a while, but with the advent of Ramunap Red, the existence of Glorybringer in the format at all, there are, as you say, a lot of cards between Glorybringer, Hazoret, and all of their 2-drops, which you want to kill as soon as they come down, and pretty much most other creature except Ronas in the format, you can Grasp of Darkness. So being able to play a deck that can execute its game plan and not really worry about the onslaught of creatures and have access to Grasp really easily and play it on curve because you don't have any tap lands is, I think that's a really good strength of the zombie deck at the moment. And having Kalitas, conversely, as a 4 toughness creature, having access to that when everyone's running around with the braids, almost a necessary answer in itself if you can play a braid because of all the God Pharaoh's gifts and the fact it's an incinerate. You've got some really good cards there that can really create some awkward moments for opponent if you can Grasp Hazoret and you've got a 3-4 life linking wall. What are they going to do?
Yeah, I agree. I found the deck really good, actually. I thought when you first gave it to me as well, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, I can play that. It's going to be quite easy. Zombies just, you know, play creatures and smash. But it was a very challenging deck to play, actually. Just the sequencing in how you play your creatures, when to use the certain kill spells. What kill spell to use was quite important for when. Yeah, and I found it really fun.
That's good. You've got a lot of lines with it. Between Crypt Breaker, Colossus, and the other card, what's it? Relentless Dead. Like, what to do with your mana at the right time.
Yeah.
I agree. It's not just as simple as play Lords and turn things sideways. But no, I'm pleased you did well with it because it is a fun deck as well. It's nice to have these little tribal synergies which are popular with people rather than a deck which might not be as characterful, but also one that's actually doing very well at the same time, which is nice.
So yeah, that was my triumphant return back to Magic.
Yeah.
Won a draw, second games day, first at games day. Now I'm going back to Purgatory. I don't know when I'll get to next play Magic. Probably Commander release weekend I'll get to play some.
Nice. As for myself, I've been basically grinding Affinity, trying to get as much practice in as possible on the build up to GP Birmingham. I've done some leagues online, and in terms of actual performance, it's been fairly abysmal. I think the last two leagues, oh my gosh, it's been so bad. The last two leagues I've done, I've gone 1-4, 1-3, and just like dropped. I dropped one league because I just rage quit it because I got paired up against this mono white prison deck, which was running Phyrexian Unlife, which is if you get below 0 life, you can't lose the game for it, and you get damage done as if you have effect. It all sources of damage would have effect.
Yeah.
So it basically kind of, if you use it on its own, it gains, it's like an extra 10 life buffer. But then he was also running it with Solemnity, which means that you can't get counters.
I wonder if that
was that. Yeah. And obviously with Infinity, you have, especially in the main deck, you've got literal zero answers to that. Yeah. So I scooped game one, and then I basically only have like Thought Seizes to try and stop this nonsense from happening. And as soon as he resolved it in game two, that was it. So I could see it again. I was just like raging, just like, no, not playing anymore. That's it, done.
I think a lot of decks don't have an answer to that in the main, do they?
No. No.
A bit like Worship, I used to run that a lot in that Planeswalker deck I had. I used to have Sylvan Caryatids, which obviously by Hexproof, and as long as obviously I didn't block with it, and I had Worship, if I didn't have any enchantment before, I just won game one. And it was an awkward moment of playing against Elves, again, obviously that was more of the Planeswalkers, and the guy was courting for three, I was like, oh, here comes like the one Reclamation Sage main deck to get rid of Worship, now I'm going to lose. And he looked for his whole library, just like, oh. I was like, oh, no Reclamation Sage. He's like, yeah, I just want to go to game two, but yeah.
Brilliant.
So what are you going to put in your sideboard to counteract it?
Oh, I'm not, because I'm basically hoping that that is a fringe thing and I won't see it. And that is basically my plan. I will have, again, Thought Seizes. But the difficult thing with it is, Enchantment Hate tends to be difficult to cast. Because what you'll find is, if they have enchantments like that, they're probably a white deck. Or the biggest thing you need to fear is, obviously, Stony Silence. So,
yeah.
Given you only run one basic land, and it's not the colour to cast said enchantment removal, and the other four lands you run... There's any other four lands you run that can cast any colour you want. If they resolve the Stony Silence, all your Springleaf Drums and Mox Opals can't cast the enchantment removal colours.
Yeah.
So it's, you get this really awkward spot where you could bring it in and then just either A, not be able to cast it, or B, they haven't even drawn it, in which case you've drawn a brick and you can't execute your Affinity game plan. Everyone I've spoken to and all the advice I've sought on the deck as well tends to be that you want to just be as linear as possible but sideboard into things that can kind of disrupt and protect you a little bit without really diluting your game plan.
I've got two thoughts. One, do you run Spire of Industry?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, because obviously that gives you access to whatever colour you want, which, yep. You know, makes it a bit more flexible if you need white or whatever. My other one is you could run stuff like Echoing Truth, just like permanent hate or permanent disruption. Just to give you a turn to kill them with, I guess, and I'm guessing blue is easy for you to access, but
that's what the Storm decks are doing, actually.
I mean, Echoing Truth is always good if you're blue, which can't get rid of any permanents, but just need a turn to be able to get through to something. So I think that's a fine option if you think blue is far more accessible than you risking it to get proper white enchantment removal.
Hmm. I've got a little bit of time tomorrow, and I'm going to do a league again. I might test that out, actually, because that's interesting.
All that it relies on, like it's definitely a good option. Echoing Truth is always a good card against anything that is tricky in an opponent's deck. The only thing that you have to rely on is that you can kill them in one turn.
Yeah.
And as long as you know you can do that reliably, like without them doing any other sort of nonsense or whatever, then I think that's the perfect option.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I played a little game earlier today and they had Stony Silence, had a Cranial Plating. And an ex-champion, and I was thinking, I just need to activate this plating once, and they're dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, situations like that, it might just be all you need, just to like, bounce that, and then equip, and then you're fine.
When they dropped to Illuminacy, what life total were they on? Were they quite close to zero already?
game one, they were at one life.
Yeah. So my point is, like, you don't necessarily need to bounce it and then do 20 damage, because say if they've got Fracturing Arm Life and Solemnity, you just bounce Solemnity, and all you have to do is 11 damage, or you don't even need... Like, you know, your Ink Moth might have been giving them counters already kind of thing. You know, it's probably only 10 rather than 20 you need to do for the one turn.
No, that is actually really interesting food for thought. That's the other thing as well is whether you run one or two basics. So a lot of people will have four rainbow lands, either Spires of Industry or Glimmer Voids or some combination of the two. So they'll have those as the rainbow lands and then one basic. But some lists run only three rainbow lands and two basics because of Path to Exile and Ghost Quarter as well. I could go Mountain Island and that gives me access to blue outside of that. And also the Stony Silence decks tend to run Path to Exile as well. So yeah, no, that's I like that. I think that's definitely worth testing. Definitely. Thank you.
That's it. It's just more changes to make the night before the
yes.
GP.
I know we did these podcasts for a reason.
Yeah. All right, then. So speaking of modern, I just kind of wanted to give an overview of the format and interesting to kind of get your thoughts on how you might attack the metagame, even if it's just a couple of thoughts, not necessarily a deck choice per se.
Zombies.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Standard zombies, just port that deck right over. Because the big decks that are prevalent at the moment are Death Shadow variants, most commonly Grixis Death Shadow, Eldrazi Tron, and then there is at the moment quite a lot of Valakut decks as well, Primeval Titan decks as well. So obviously they kind of fit into the Valakut decks anyway, because they're running Primeval Titan. What's it called? Amulet Titan decks as well. So like they run the Amulet of Vigor.
Yeah.
So they combo off with all their lands that give you Titan double strike. And
is Amulet of Vigor the one? Something comes in tapped, it comes in untapped.
Yeah.
Untapped, yeah. It's a triggered thing, so I actually can respond to it. So having lots of do stack, which is really broken.
Oh.
Was it the Ravnica lands where they... That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Azusa Lost But Seeking, so they can play two extra lands per turn, ramp stupidly, and turn four kill quite easily.
I'm going to chuck my advice out already. Two words, Blood Moon.
Blood Moon.
Whatever deck, I don't care what the deck is, just run something before Blood Moon's in, done.
God Pharaoh's Gift.
I like it.
Blood Moon and God Pharaoh's Gift.
Yeah. Why? Makers of the Moon and God Pharaoh's Gift. Make it a 4-4, can't be bolted, now that's better.
Yes. Although, there isn't much bolt in the format at the moment, unless you're in Burn.
I did notice that, and I'm kind of tempted to take advantage of that, because one of the things I don't like about Modern is just anything with three toughness is generally a bad choice.
Yeah,
so I might actually just take advantage of that and just build decks I thought were bad. So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, if you can get around Fatal Push...
have three toughness.
What?
Reality Smasher.
Well, there you go. That is played in the Eldrazi Tron. You know, turn three Reality Smashers. Can you get it out the sooner than that? To double Eldrazi?
Turn three, you can get it out.
Yeah, turn three. Okay, yeah, I was right, turn three. Yes, it's Thought Not So, you can get out turn two, isn't it?
Yeah, you just do double temple.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
The old turn two Thought Not So, turn three Smasher.
Yep, pretty good. I have incomes with that.
Yeah. So actually, I think that's not terrible advice, actually, the whole Blood Moon thing. Because that hits Eldrazi Tron, that hits all the Valakut stuff, and that hits Grixis Shadow, because they played two basics.
The only thing I can see that it doesn't deal with at all is Storm and Burn. Everything else, like Valakut, Junk, Ban, Tron, it'll get rid of.
Yeah. Affinity is the other thing as well. You shut off their man lands, but depends what else you're running to deal with Affinity. I suppose if you've got Blood Moons to turn off their man lands, and then you can play things like Shatterstorm, that's quite upsetting for the Affinity player.
I was going to say, if you've got access to red, then you have access to red to break something.
Yeah. So, Simon, any thoughts for you? Other than just playing random zombies and reality smashers in the same deck?
No, I'm probably not the person to ask about a modern GP.
That's fair enough. I just wondered if you had any ideas.
Keep hydrated and eat well.
Sound advice for any situation. Yeah.
I can only day two limited GPs.
Fair enough.
The only day two I've made for a GP was when I was working one.
Excellent. You made it though. That's good.
Yeah. I was not fired, so
it was only scraped it. Only scraped it on win
percentage. Yeah, I was like winning in finally. Yeah. I'm just looking at the top eight at the moment, the one that was most recent. I don't even know how to pronounce this place. Syracuse? I don't know how to say it.
That place.
Do anyone know this place? It was an SCG tournament, I don't know. But this place, fifth place was Bantis.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's the one that collects company loads of spirits.
Oh, spirits.
Spell quillers. I did run it once. It was really good fun. This one doesn't have Tameo like the other one did. But it's kind of making me want to try it again because it was quite fun, actually.
Yeah, collected company makes for some unfair turns.
Well, because you go like, they go, oh, I'll do this. You go in response to collected company. And then if they try and respond, if you hit a Mausoleum Wanderer, you just counter it.
Yeah.
And the Mausoleum Wanderers see whatever the other spirit is. And then you can run stuff like Geist and Kira and Drogskull Captains. All the other stuff gets hexproof. And it's good. Oh, and Temple Spirit as well. And Spellqueller, obviously. So I'm tempted to build this again because at the moment, out of the stuff I'm seeing in the top sort of meta, I've actually got this whole deck. So I could always build that again if I want. And it seems to be doing okay.
It can be very powerful. I got absolutely wrecked by Collected Company into double Drogskull Captain.
The only thing I didn't like about it was it's a bit inconsistent. You can't really rely on it. And particularly if the opponent is doing very obvious things like Affinity or Tron or whatever, you can't, you know, you've got options, but you can't get to them like you would any other deck. I'm not sure if that's where I want to be, but it has got just loads of stuff that I like, so I don't know.
That's fair. I think
like Collective Company into Spellqueller, that's cool, and it's sure if you've got like a one of the Lords and it's a 3/4 flyer, but it still feels bad that you don't get to counter something.
I think with Modern in general though, like as far as a fair deck goes, I think it's pretty strong. And yeah, that's probably its only weakness, is that it is just a fair deck. You know, like it's always going to struggle against something like utterly non-interactive like Storm, where it can just go, everything you've done is pointless and you now lost. Probably the only bad thing. But then if you're blue, you can just board it to counter magic. So like, it's definitely an interesting deck for sure. That's just why, kind of why I've gone with Affinity, because like...
How well has Affinity been doing on the Modern scene lately?
I don't know about the recent one. I know, I think it was Las Vegas, there was a top, I think that won Affinity, if I remember rightly, or there was at least top 8. So it's one of these decks, a little bit like Burn, it's always going, you're very likely to always play it. It's so powerful, what it's doing, that people will just run it, especially people that have played it, and that's their deck.
Yeah, I think it's always in contention, but at the end of the day, it depends how well it does. It's dependent on how prepared people's sideboards are to meet it.
It's like I think it's a perfect example is like Dredge. Like if Dredge is performing well, people will pack their relics and they'll shut that out of the format. And it's the same with Affinity. If that's putting up results week on week, then people will go, well, I'll load up on the artifact hate, and then Affinity has a harder time breaking through.
It's like Boggles. Boggles is so easy to counter, but no one ever has stuff for it. But just because
take Boggles,
I'm not
take
playing.
Boggles.
I'm not taking Boggles.
Just people aren't really. People will go, what idiot's going to take Boggles? I don't have to bring my enchantment hate.
No. Boggle.
Or my sacrifice effects.
I can't.
If I had Boggles, I'd definitely play it.
I can't imagine it going against Grixis and that ending well. Turn one thought sees your Boggle. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's right. Lifelink's good.
Lifelink is very good, actually. It's why if I was playing Affinity versus Boggles, I'd just give up on actually attacking them and try and win with an Ink Moth. What with Samira's then is you need to play an unfair deck which needs Blood Moons and Boggles. And you'll
that
have
hasn't won for a while.
That hasn't won for a while.
It doesn't sound like it would have done.
and you'll be golden. So love it.
Yeah.
Sound advice.
Moon Boggles.
Moon.
I would play that. Would. Play the hell out of that.
Boggles likes enchantments anyway, doesn't it? So it'll go well.
It's wrong that I'm like brewing this in my mind now.
Well, Boggles used to be super expensive, didn't it? Because you've got obviously like Dawnbreak Coronet, but now they're like super cheap.
Yeah.
It's the only other expensive thing, the is it Horizon Canopies, whatever they're called?
Oh god, yeah.
Horizon Canopies are ridiculously expensive.
But, I'm guessing if you were to splash red, you probably wouldn't want to run those. So if Dawnbreak Coronet's the most expensive thing, it wouldn't be too bad. I'm gonna brew this. This is my job at work tomorrow, to brew a Moon Boggle deck.
Do it. I want to see.
I'll let you guys know.
are you going to Birmingham, Grant?
No, I've been a bit out of sync with Magic, so I don't feel that confident in what I haven't done fantastically every GP I've gone to. So to me, it's not worth the money. I'd rather just consistently go to more nearby.
Do you want to judge?
It was fairly nearby, but again, I sort of slowly was realizing that if you're an L3, you can actually make some good money judging and stuff. But as an L2, like particularly in another country, you don't really even make your money back as long as you're actually like going out and having fun in the evenings kind of thing. So it's okay. I might do another one soon, but at the moment, I think I'm just happy doing local. I mean, I haven't even done like a PPTQ for a while now. So although I've got 3 coming up, because obviously it's that season soon, isn't it? Like, it's next month they all start. I think I've got 3 or 4 in my calendar, so I'm probably going to see most of these things.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a little bit of Modern talk. The next thing I want to do is take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll play the flavor text game.
Boo!
Are you both ready?
Yeah.
If you weren't tuned in for the last time we played this, essentially I have a couple of cards here, and I will read the flavor text to Simon, and he's got to basically guess the card. And we'll do a couple for Grant as well, and see who is the winner of the episode at the end of this. Now, the only caveat to this is I'm not going to pick the most obscure cards. I will pick cards that I think they should know what they are. So it gives them a fighting chance. So, Simon, are you ready?
No.
Good. So your first bit of flavour text is, lost to time is the artificer's art of trapping light from a distant star in a ring of purest gold.
Oh, come on now.
What artificers, say it again.
Lost to time is the artificer's art of trapping light from a distant star in a ring of purest gold.
Soul ring.
Yeah. Oh, God's
sake. Was that it?
Yeah.
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 Grant, did you get it immediately?
Yeah.
What version is it? Or is it on?
This is a commander version.
Commander version?
One of the commander versions. I don't know which one. Commander something or other.
Mm.
Okay.
That's not the most reprinted card ever by now, surely.
Quite possibly. Either that or Bolt. Bolt's had quite a few.
Grizzly Bear.
No, I think this can give a run for it, money.
That's true. Okay. Grant, you feeling confident?
Always.
Good. Okudoku had gone through all the motions, the same Aki curse words, the same ingredients with their horrid stink, the same rude gestures, yet not a person died.
Oh. It's not stifle, it's something along those lines. Is it like squelch or something?
Yes.
Oh,
I nailed it.
What? How the hell did you guess that?
I am good with cards. Sort of my job.
There must be a website that says, what is the magic flavor?
So, Simon, for bonus points, do you know what squelch does?
No. Is it? I'm guessing it's red.
No.
Green.
2-mana instant, counter target activated ability, draw a card.
Oh.
From Kamigawa?
Said, but not.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Oh, it's got a weird little goblin on there.
It does, yeah.
The spiky ones.
Yeah.
Scratching his head and puzzled.
Mm.
Excellent work. Okay, Simon, your next one.
Okay.
There are so many of them. It seems they've just been waiting for someone to serve.
Rally the peasants. I think that's quite a good guess.
That's not a bad guess. You're kind of along the right lines of there being many, but that's not right. Grant, do you know?
I don't know. I'm tempted to go something along the lines of Slivers, but no, I don't know. I'm very Sliver hive mind, by the name.
Nah, that's fair enough. It was Liliana's Mastery.
Oh, I did think it was Zombies as well.
Yeah. I thought maybe Simon, when you've been playing it over the weekend, you might have read it.
Yeah.
No, what I found is I didn't read a lot of my cards. I missed a lot of my own triggers, including when they should have died.
You didn't even remember the flavours.
I was a bit rusty playing. I don't know how I won. Probably by missing triggers like when my creature should have died. So, yeah, need to work on that.
Okay then, Grant, your second one is, don't underestimate the aerodynamic qualities of the common goblin.
Goblin grenade.
Yeah. No, oh, that was too easy.
I lost for that last week.
Yeah.
Underestimated deck.
Oh, I've got a goblin grenade in front of me as well. I'd have got that.
You went 3-0 with that deck on last Monday.
Goblin grenade is good at ruining your FNM.
No, it's good at ruining your mind. You're like, oh my god, I'm on a multiple of 5 as long as I'm just dead, aren't I? And then you start to undermine this.
I'm on 15. I am dead to triple goblin grenade.
Exactly.
Okay. All right then, Simon. If you think about this one, Simon, I'm pretty sure you'll get it. It probably means nothing, but there we are. Okay, so it's your last one.
Okay.
Eldrazi? Ha! Try walking through Zillaport at night with your pockets full. Now that's dangerous.
I love this one.
Zillaport at night with your...
You've actually played a deck with this card as well.
Is it the 1/1 2 mana when a creature you control dies, you gain a life, your opponent loses a life?
Yeah.
Is it Zillaport Cutthroat?
Boom. Yeah. So I thought that was an easy one because, again, it had half of the title in the flavor text. So I thought you've got to get this, Simon.
It means nothing. All right, your turn, Luke.
What? Oh.
The second wind of ascension is Reva, slaying the unworthy.
Plot twist.
Do you know it, Rob?
I had no idea. I just thought the contestant asking the question master.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like this change in dynamic.
Haven't got a clue, have you?
Well, have you just picked up like the most obscure comment you found like on your?
I can do that as well.
There's more obscure ones on the table.
Okay. Am I allowed a clue?
Probably. I don't know what I'd give you.
Is it because you don't even know what the card is either?
I do. I've got the name in front of me.
Yeah, but what sets it from?
Oh, it's old.
Yeah.
It's got multiple printings. You would never have played it. As a competitive player, you would never have played it.
Probably narrow it down.
Okay.
I have absolutely no idea.
Plague Wind.
Oh! Plague Wind. Curses. Well,
spoiled at your own game.
Yeah. Had wind in the text as well, yeah. Rubbish.
He's going then.
Grant, this is your last one.
Oh.
Everything here exists or perishes at my whim, including you, Gatewatch.
Oh. No. That's obviously a Nicol Balas card.
And it is a quote by... It says Nicol Balas. It's a quote.
I'm trying to think of what that would go best with. I'm tempted to say whatever the Playmat art is, that Reign of Devastation, whatever it's called, the black one.
I don't think it is that.
Oh, no, I think I know which one it is. Is it the one... I don't know. No, I think it's wrong. It's the only one I can think of. Is it that one where it's a really obscure one that's not worth any money? It's the one where... Is it if you cast something of a certain value, it does something? I can't remember. Is Nicol Balas in front of those pyramids and they're all collapsing?
No, a little bit cold. You weren't right, but you're actually closer with Reign of Hellfire.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Is it Hour of Devastation?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I've got one for both of you because I've got a card in front of me that is not obscure that you might actually be able to get.
Okay.
And Lee, you should know this.
No.
A beacon of prosperity to some, a shadow of oppression to others.
Right, say it again. I missed it.
A beacon of prosperity to some, a shadow of oppression to others. It technically doesn't have the name of the card in the title, but it sort of does.
What was that? Not Leyline of something.
I'll give you a clue. You'll be playing it in the deck you take to the Vermin.
Ooh.
Simon, any ideas?
No.
It's not Blink Mox, is it? No,
it's not. What?
Beacon of... Not Mox.
No. The clue is beacon. Like I said, it's not in the title, but another word for beacon is in the title.
Light?
Nope.
I'm trying to think of beacony things. Why don't I get this?
Is it something you need to add to your deck?
I'm looking through my deck
before
now.
Before the GP weekend.
We were literally talking about it when we were giving the advice.
It's not Blood Moon.
Nope.
I was going to say Blood Moon, but then I thought, no, I don't recognise that flavour text.
That doesn't make sense.
No, exactly.
Is it a boggle? A slippery boggle?
This is painful. Why don't I know this?
You're upset. I'll give you other clues from Kaladesh.
Oh, Spire of Industry. Yay! I bloody knew that. I knew that. I've read that. I've read that recently as well because I remember thinking, oh, yeah, it's very Kaladesh-y with the group of...
Well, Aether of Old, I should say.
Yeah. That's the one, yeah. Ah.
Yep.
You're right. I should have known that. Shame on me. Even looking through my deck box cheating.
Yeah.
No. Well done for showing me up. That's not how that's supposed to work, but... But excellent. So I think that was pretty much a draw in the end because you each guessed one of the others. So yeah, hold on.
Yay, yeah. Everyone wins.
Everyone's a winner except me, who didn't guess any. Okay then, so next up, Grant, what have you got for us in the way of a spicy brew?
Okay, the deck is a red-white deck. Like I said, this is for modern. It is named after the card that the deck is about. But that won't help you because the title of the deck is Bludgeon Brawl, which I'm guessing none of you have heard of.
I have heard this. This is a... is it Bludgeon Brawler or is it the artifact that turns into a thing?
No, it's an enchantment just called Bludgeon Brawl.
Mm-hmm. It does something stupid. I reckon... Is it Phyrexia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I recognise it, but I can't take... Yeah, I remember it, but I can't think what it does.
Okay, Bludgeon Brawl is an enchantment, 3 mana, that says each non-creature, non-equipment artifact, so basically just normal artifact, is an equipment with equip X, and equip creature gets plus X plus 0, where X is that artifact's converted mana cost. So, say you had an artifact that cost 2, it would be 2 to equipment, it would give it plus 2 plus 0.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's two directions you can go with this deck. You can either have a deck with lots of big artifacts and you run stuff like Pure Steel Paladin, which means that it's free to equip. Or you go down the super stupid route, which I like about this one, which is basically you just fill the deck with loads of zero-cost artifacts, which mean they're free to equip, and you put them on creatures that have stuff when they get equipped by things.
Yeah.
So the whole deck is basically built around a card called Goblin Gavelineer, which is a 1-mana 1/1 trample, and it gets +2/+0 for each equipment attached to it.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Oh, that guy used to be awesome.
Yeah. It also runs Pure Steel Paladin, as I said, so you get to draw cards. And it runs Kemba, the card regent, so you get to like make cats if you want. But basically, it runs a Quarter Shield, because that's obviously already zero. It's got Villain Hawk Idol, Mox Opals, Spider Silk Nets, a couple of swords in it, and Welding Jars. And effectively, obviously, all the Welding Jars, Shields, Opals, whatever, you can then put on the Gavelineer for free, which gives it like a, you know, +9/+10/+something. And then you just attack this crazy goblin, or you put it on Kemba, you get lots of cats, and yeah, it's just silly. You're turning normal artifacts into weapons that aren't very big, but because it's a goblin, they are quite big.
I love it. I love how you can weld and jar like equipment with a regen shield as well. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It also runs Galvanic Blast, just because.
Yeah.
And it also runs X Champions, again, just because. It runs Glint Hawk as well, which is the 1-mana 2/2 flyer, which you get to, or you have to bounce an artifact, which obviously isn't a problem, because you'll get, obviously, a free cast, and obviously you'll get to draw cards from Pure Steel Paladin as well.
Nice.
Oh yeah, just an interesting rules thing as well. So Pure Steel Paladin says, whenever an equipment enters the battlefield under your control, you may draw a card. Or Blood and Brawl says that each non-creature, non-equipment artifact is an equipment, so when you play Welding Jar, it will come in as an artifact, as an equipment, so you'll get to draw a card off of it.
So nice.
So yeah, obviously a Quarter Shield you get it straight away because it's already an equipment without the Bludgeon Brawl. But as long as you've got Pure Steel Paladin and Bludgeon Brawl, all the other stuff counts as well. So. But yeah, equipping a goblin with like a few Mox Opals and a Welding Jar is just... I mean, obviously it dies for any kind of removal of this deck, but it just seems too hilarious not to want to play.
Yeah.
Do you play artifact lands in there as well, just for extra value?
This one doesn't, but...
Yeah, I would.
I also agree with that. Non-creature, non-equipment.
Yeah, Dark Steel Citadel.
I'm gonna edit this deck right now and put those in. That makes no sense. Otherwise.
Draw some cards. Give your goblin a +2/+0. Don't you have to tap the land?
Exactly, absolute nonsense. So basically, yeah, put lots of cheap artifacts, which are now equipped onto the goblin, kill them the goblin, hope goblin doesn't get removed by any removal in the game. That is.
And how well does the deck fare if you don't draw Blood and Brawl?
This is what I was saying before, like, obviously Bludgeon Brawl is where you want to be. You've got the option of just equipping normal equipment onto it. Like I said, you run Spider Silk Net, you run Cold Sheep.
Yeah.
So you've got plus the Swords of Fire and Ice and Sword of Blood Shadow, you've got 10 equipments that are just normal. So if you don't draw the Bludgeon Brawl, because there's only 3 in the deck, because you don't really want, you know, more than one in your hand, you can still do it that way. And, you know, you can also just go back the normal way and just have Galvanic Blast and just edge champions with stuff on them. So it's, you know, it's fine as well. A lot of these decks I found on, there was a Reddit thread, which anyone can easily find just by typing in, like, $5 or budget modern decks in Magic kind of thing. And a lot of these were budget decks, and obviously this one isn't because, like, it's got, like, Kemba. Actually, to be fair, Kemba's quite cheap now, but it's got stuff like Mox Opals. But you could quite easily do this with any other, there's plenty of different artifacts out there, even ones that aren't equipment. Like, there's that Darksteel Trinket, the one that says it's zero cost, it's indestructible and has no abilities whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was there to contribute towards Metalcraft, but you could equip, chuck loads of like 10p, you know, cheap artifacts on this goblin and kill them with it. So this one's just a bit more efficient because the Mox Opals. For sideboard stuff as well, like got like Dismembers and Ghost Force and stuff. But it also runs Dispatch, which is basically 1-mana tap a creature. If you've got Metalcraft, then it's just exile that creature. So it's just like a path of exile, no drawback.
Dispatch is good.
Again, there's different ways you can go with the deck. You can either go down the equipment route with Pure Steel Paladin, or you can go down just the have normal artifacts, just rely on getting Bludgeon Brawl, and just go all in. But the list I've got of this is kind of a mixture between the two. But again, as I said, you can easily find, if you start in Bludgeon Brawl, you'll find loads of decks which are either one or the other.
Looks quite fun.
Yeah. Oh, Darksteel Relic, that's what it's called. The zero is indestructible, that's it.
Yes.
Oh, you can also run Fling if you want. Attack with Big Goblin, chuck Big Goblin, win the game.
Fling.
That classic modern staple.
Oh, yeah. Also, you can run the little mana things as well, like the Sphere of Suns, which is only 2 mana, so it's quite cheap. And you get like 3 charges out of it for mana, and then it doesn't do anything. But of course, you can just equip to your goblin and use it while it's doing that. Incidentally, as well, from a rules perspective, of course, when you tap creatures with equipment on, the equipment isn't tapped. Normally, that doesn't matter at all. But of course, in situations like this, where you've got Mox Opals or whatever, it would actually make sense to only tap the creature in this situation.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it means you can have the improvised synergies as well.
Indeed. Yeah, it's quite important if you look at it with, you know, alternate costs or, you know, using something as it's not normally used and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is one of the sillier decks I've got, but there are plenty to go, of course.
I like it.
Yeah, a goblin just going crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, then, so is there anything else that either of you wanted to chat about?
I think we're good. You're, well, getting more or less fully prepared for Birmingham.
Well, I'm pretty much settled on my deck now. There's like one or two cards that I might tweak in the sideboard based on a little bit of sort of final playing around with it.
Echoing Truth and such.
Yeah. But I think with Modern, like, you kind of, there are certain matchups I need to avoid and I just need to play well. It might just be that I lose to non-interactive decks, and I don't always like to not be accountable for my losses. If that makes sense. I don't just like to go, oh, there's nothing I could have done. But I think in Modern, sometimes people just go off and...
Well, you are accountable. You picked the wrong deck.
That's true.
That's the case.
Yeah.
If that happens more times than not, then it means you've made a bad meta call.
Yeah, there is that. But what I'm hoping is that I can get under all of that. That's my plan for it. I'm not sort of going into it thinking, oh, if I play certain things, there's nothing I can do. I've got a plan for every matchup that I can think of, and I just need to play well, just try and get through some of the craziness that Modern will throw at me.
I'm not there.
No, but I mean, it's so weird. Like, you've got decks that take infinite turns. You've got decks that make a Walking Ballista infinitely huge and shoot you with it. You've got Storm. You've got other Affinity players. You've got these mono-white enchantment decks. You've got Grixis Shadow. There's so many different ways you could approach or play the format, and it's quite mind-blowing in a way. It's always a little bit like, before an event, I kind of just want it to be the event now, rather than waiting before it. Because then you start thinking, oh, what if I do this? What if I switch that? That's why I'm pretty much sorted on what I'm going to take. And I've just got
We look forward to seeing you in the feature match area.
Yeah. I will be merciless, though, if that is the case. Not letting my opponent take things back. Like that other guy, the last feature match, I was on a Dark Sphere.
You let him take things back?
I most certainly did not.
He tried to.
I think I mentioned this before. He basically cast.
He did, yeah.
Yeah. He cast a spell and was like, no. Mike was behind me and he said, if you hadn't said anything, Luke, I would have called a judge. it was that obvious. But at the end of the day, you know, if I was him and I've made that mistake, I would have tried to take it back because it was so one of those things. It was so silly, and he shouldn't have done it, and he knew he shouldn't have done it. It was kind of like, oh, crap, I've made this mistake now. My only hope is they'll be like, oh, no, I didn't mean that.
Well, did you talk about the guy in the finals of the, was it the Pro Tour trying to take back his illegal move? Was it Pro Tour? Did you think we tried to attack with...
God. Did you hear about that, Grant?
No.
So, Paolo...
Dini.
Huh? No. Not Paolo Dini. The other famous Paolo.
Oh, okay.
Paolo Vita Dama de Rosa.
I was prepared for that.
No, oh, damn you. PV. can't even speak.
Sure.
He was playing this other guy who I can't remember his name. They're both on Ramanat Red. And his opponent basically needed, he had Hazoret on the table and one card in hand. That was Collective Defiance, I think. And he needed to top deck a burn spell, and the combined damage from those two burn spells and a Hazoret attack would kill PV. And I think it was like he would win, basically. And he drew his card, saw it was a burn spell, Incendiary Flow, and the crowd in the other room went batshit crazy, and he could kind of hear it. He obviously, heart starts racing, is like, yes, this is great. I've got my two burn spells. I've got Hazoret. We're doing this. Looked across, went, go to combat. And then tried to attack. PV immediately was like, judge, and then yeah, that was it. And unfortunately, he's written a whole article on this as well, like about his absolute just miserable experience. Yeah, it can happen to the best of us, and
that's why we look forward to seeing Luke in the feature match.
Yeah, watch me break.
Oh my god!
If I just fall out of my chair at some point, you know that it's not going well. All he had to do was play magic, and he'd be fine. And it's so easy just to go bleh. And if you think, like, he's been playing like 2 days, however many rounds, he must be just so fried.
Yeah.
I remember watching the little interview Jerry Thompson when he won the Pro Tour with Black Zombies. He just sort of, he was being really polite and nice, and he just said, "Yeah, no, I'm doing what I can. I've got like, this splitting headache," and he was almost like he was saying, "I don't really want to be talking to you now." And but he did all that like whilst like completely just drained. And it's a lot, I think, and it's impressive that people don't make more mistakes in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Pee-wee must have knew he was out. He's just like, oh, great, crowd's cheering, I'm dead. And he's on it. As soon as he makes a play mistake, that's it. Judge.
Yep, crushing.
Give me my win.
Yeah.
And my giant check. That was a costly mistake. That wasn't just a normal match. That cost him thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
He's going to hate that card.
So that is all for now from us. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, give us some feedback on our Facebook page. You can search up Glimmer of Genius or at Glimmer of Genius on Facebook. Search us up on Facebook and leave a comment. Follow the group and keep up to date with whenever we are sending out podcasts. We can also be found on the MTGCast network. That is mtgcast.com, as well as our own podcast website, which is glimmerofgenius.podbean.com. Also, if you're interested in even more Magic the Gathering content, then please check out my YouTube channel, Vincent Games, which you can find in the description below, or search up Vincent Games on YouTube. Once again, thanks very much for listening, and stay tuned for more.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Go.
No, that's all good. Thank you both.
It's far too late. It's like gong 11.
I know. It's terrible.
Yeah, old man. It's too late for us.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to be up in like half one.
Nice.
Night feeds.
Yeah. I'm hoping they just sleep through.
Good luck.
Just give them some cowpole.
Awesome. I miss cowpole.
Yeah, no, it tastes better than you remember.
Yeah, the under 3 month stuff is delicious.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when you got changed to like this 7-year-old pasta with orange.
You're
and
stuff. That. Pink stuff. Right. Anyway, we're going a bit weird. We should probably leave it.
Yeah. Thanks, right. Guys. Have a good evening. Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Keep bad if we don't see you beforehand.
Yeah, exactly.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
See ya.